Hi, Michael.
Very nice to speak to you in these somewhat unusual circumstances. Very nice to hear your voice.
Yes.
You're working on, what are you working on now as we speak?
I'm just on my way into work to, we're on, I think, week five of the new season of Masters of Sex.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I'm very, very impressed by your performance as William Boldwood in Far From the Madding Crowd, and I wasn't expecting to be impressed by it because I don't have a recollection of Peter Finch's performance being as striking and as touching as yours, and I don't remember. It's unusual to feel compassion, sympathy, empathy for a fellow who's a loser in love. But you made me feel that the man had real passion and he was a man of character, and he took it decently. And I just thought it was very good what you managed to do. I was very taken with it.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Is there a? Can you just give me a little idea of how you went after it, and what you? Was there any special, moment of inspiration? Or you just like, I just thought it was, what I said.
Yeah. Well, there was. I suppose there were a couple of things. One of the sort of starting points for it was just a little clue in the script in the novel, really, where. When Boldwood, Bathsheba first sees Boldwood, she's told that that's Mr. Boldwood, and apparently there's a rumor that he had his heart broken when he was younger, that he was jilted by someone. And it doesn't go into that much, but I thought that was key, or it seemed it to me. When you couple that with the two other things. One, that he said that he now has nothing to do with women. All the girls want to be, because he's such a great catch, because he's wealthy, but he has nothing to do with any of them. Yeah. And then why he jumps on this Valentine so much. If he's someone who's kind of turned his back on the world of being social and of having a romantic relationship, then why does he jump on this Valentine so much? Yeah. So it was the combination of all those things that then, coupled with the way that Thomas worked before we started filming, we had a week of just improvising. And so I was really able to explore all those things through improvisation, which is so rare when you work in film. It's something that I've done a lot of in theatre, but I've never had the chance to do it in film, where I can not only improvise around scenes that are in the film, but improvise scenes from the character's backstory.
Right.
So it really allowed me then to explore this idea of a man who had been deeply hurt when he was younger, and because of his wealth, was able to sort of withdraw into a world of isolation. And then after many, many years later, abscuing on this and retreating from the kind of world of people, really. My take on it was that just before the events of the film take place, he's starting to feel like he's already unraveling, that this sort of life of isolation and deep hurt has kind of created an unhealthy inner world for him. And so he knows he's, when this Valentine comes, he jumps on it because he knows that it's possibly a way out of this self-created prison. But it starts a process that opens up this wound again from the past.
Yes.
And you start to realize, I suppose, as an audience maybe, that this is a man who is not giving parts of himself away as the story goes on, but actually it's being revealed that they'd already gone long before, if you see what I mean. The idea of this man of great dignity at the beginning of the film, he describes it as so dignified and noble, is actually just a defense. It's a kind of wall that he's put up. And that slowly as that wall gets dismantled, as he starts to try and pursue Bathsheba, actually what you realize is how little there is behind that wall from the beginning in terms of self-esteem and confidence and so the idea of when he gets to the point where he says to Bathsheba, you know, if you worry about just marrying me out of pity or not having passion or not loving me, then that's all right. I think that is a direct result of what happened before, that he spent many, many years now wishing that he had said that to the first woman who had jilted him. And so he's already a kind of a weakened, unraveled man. It's just that the defenses come down during the film. So you see a man really who's lost his sense of self, you know, and I think that moved me. The idea of just a broken heart, you know, what that can do to you. But that, in fact, the broken heart is not so much what you see in the film, but it's what's already happened. But I suppose that was the key to it for me.
I think that
because otherwise you're just watching a man who, it's just about a man who's not in love. He's just obsessed with someone who doesn't feel the same way for him, and you can't really feel sorry for someone like. I mean, you can empathize, I guess, because everyone has sort of thought that, but it can't become like tragic. It becomes tragic when you see a man whose heart has been broken in the past and is somehow still trapped by that, you know. Even if that's not directly stated, you just feel it. I mean, that's what I think about acting, really, is that the most powerful things are the invisible ones. They're not the ones that you're told on the surface. It's what's going on under the surface, the currents that are moving, and that somehow we connect with that. I'm glad that this seems to connect.
Yeah, the one is accustomed in love stories that when the other suitor, who is not going to prevail and find fulfillment and happiness, one is accustomed to kind of disengaging from that person because
because it makes it easier for everyone to enjoy the central love story, doesn't it? You don't want to be troubled by, but I actually like that other guy as well. You don't want to feel sorry for them. That's why they're usually sort of seen as quite caricatured, aren't they? They're sort of they're either quite foolish or they're downright bad, mean. You don't relate to them as being good people.
Right.
And I think in a way there's an element of that in the novel and in the previous versions of it, where because each one of the suitors represents something very different, then there's a tendency to push Boldwood towards, I suppose, being much more the man of wealth and the man of upright, kind of starchy business, and quite sort of cold, and I wanted to fight against that, really.
Yeah, I was very taken, and I instantly decided that it's a shame in some way, because he's a very good fellow. I felt for him, and I did not feel pity for him. I felt sorry that that happiness was not going to be his, but I was immediately sold in that one scene when he sort of says his piece, that he's a good fellow, and she could do a lot worse, and it's sad, you know?
But, I mean, even in the scene towards the end, where there's that sort of interesting moment that Boldwood has with Oak at the end, just before the party, where he shows Oak the ring that he's gonna, you know, give to Bathsheba, and Oak does his tie for him, and they have a real moment of sort of very unmanly, tenderness with each other, and Boldwood says how grateful he is to Oak, and profoundly says, "I'm profoundly grateful for how you've looked after her." And there's a real, you know, there's something very moving about that. About no matter how unraveled this man is becoming, or how desperate he's becoming, or he's still able to be really generous in a proper way. He's able to. He's a realist. He sees what is actually going on, and he's able to feel deeply. And I suppose that's another part of the journey of him, is that he's a man who seems at the beginning someone who, you know, is quite withheld, and by the end of it he's incredibly emotional, and it's a man who is sort of in some ways overwhelmed by his emotion. I guess that's another thing that we no matter how emotional or how difficult we find it to deal with emotions, we all have a sense of being overwhelmed by emotion, and that's something that you see in someone else, you can't help but feel about, especially when it leads to his sort of destruction and ruin. But he doesn't do badly by anyone in the whole story, does he? He shows great quality.
Yes. It's the people that see Madding Crowd are perhaps it's probably a bit of a surprise, or it seems unusual at the very start of the film, fairly early, when Matthias Schoenaerts makes a proposition, a marriage proposal to Bathsheba Everdeen, played by Carey Mulligan, right away without any preliminaries. And of course, one has to understand that in the 1870s, which is when this is presumably happening, that the marriage was not, and relationships were really about pooling resources and survival.
Exactly, and, yeah, and that was something that really struck me. The last time I watched it, I was really struck again by how precarious this society is that we're watching, you know, that you see very early on. Obviously, Gabriel is a man who has his own farm and is doing well in life. And then after one, you know, event, one cataclysmic event with his sheep, his fortunes are totally reversed. He has fallen through the cracks, and this is a society where there's no safety net. You know, Fanny Robin turns up at the wrong church, and that's it. She does. She's just destitute, and Gabriel is out. And so we see that any opportunity to consolidate and strengthen and provide some sort of security is such a big deal, which is, of course, what is, apart from anything else, attractive as a prospect with Boldwood. Because Boldwood is saying, I will offer you security. Mm. We see that Bathsheba, you know, could have lost her sheep as well through the, you know, the whole bloating thing. If that had happened, it's not just, I mean, in the story, it's tempting to see it more as just through the prism of, like, how her relationship with Gabriel works. You know, she has to kind of, you know, take back what she just said and go to him and bring him back. But actually, it's life or death for her. You know, she could fall through the cracks because of that. Mm. And so when a man comes along and says, I will offer you comfort and security, that is a big deal in this society. And I think, yes, like you say, the idea of offering marriage is, it consolidates your position. It's but harder to fall through the cracks then. Yeah. So that's why people are jumping at it all the time. It's there's not a lot of wooing going on.
I was also just generally impressed with the discipline and the way the film did not adhere to the John Schlesinger scheme of much more lavish and longer take. I was very taken and impressed by how it did not seem to cut anything out vital, and it got down to business very quickly, the film, and it was quite absorbing, because it was just a tighter piece than the Schlesinger film.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, having, you know, looking at Thomas Vinterberg's other work, there's a real, especially in films like Celebration and The Hunt, that he's clearly very interested in the dynamics of a community.
Right.
A very specific community, when one person within that community somehow breaks the rules,
right,
or is perceived to break the rules,
right,
and whether it's, you know, the son in Celebration who suddenly declares, you know, the truth that's going on under the surface of this family in front of everyone, or whether it's Mads Mikkelsen's character in The Hunt who is, you know, seen as being a pedophile, and the community reacts to him. Again, you can see that here. There is this very particular hierarchical community where things are done in a certain way, and suddenly here is this woman who is doing things just by gender being a woman, breaking the rules. And how does that community... And so that means that, on the one hand, Thomas first has to be very specific about what that community is and how it works and what the rhythms and cycles of it are, in order to show how someone upsets those rhythms and cycles, I suppose. And so I guess, rather than it being some sort of, like you say, sort of lavish celebration of life generally, and colour and you know, and character, this is much more specific, and I think much more true to Hardy in that sense. And Hardy, when I read the novel again, he's very, very specific about the community and about you know, the landscape and the rituals of this community. It's not general in any way, and he sort of, you know, it goes off on little sort of what appears to be little rambles and things, but it's actually very, very specific. And I think Thomas really wanted to go for that.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably, like you say, what makes it get down to business so quickly.
Yes, I completely Concur. I lamentably I have to do another phoner, but thank you very much for your time, Michael.
It's a pleasure.
I wish we had the more, but again, congratulations. I just think it's one of the, to me, it's one of the, it's the first truly exceptional supporting performance of the year, and I intend to keep saying.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Have a good day, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks. Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.